You are at the intersection of wealth, health, and happiness. Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy Life. Hi, I'm Christina Wise, and welcome to Wealthy, Wealthy Life, where I interview thought leaders who teach a countercultural approach to money, health, and happiness, because a good life is a wealthy, wealthy life. Today, I interview Garrett Salpiller. Garrett has a great story. He's become a good friend of mine. He's a former ice hockey player, and like most high-performing athletes, he was disappointed by popular physical therapy methods and overall training, exercise training, workout training in general. To figure out a better approach after he was injured, he studied the nervous system, just went straight down to study how the body works, how the nervous system operates, and really learning how working with the neuromuscular level accelerates healing and amplifies muscular response and growth. He's the founder of NewFit, an electrical stimulation therapy clinic here in Austin, Texas. He's currently pursuing a PhD in neuromuscular physiology, and I work with him on a weekly basis. I'm a huge fan. In this episode, we talk about why understanding the nervous system is critical to athleticism, how electrical stimulation therapy works, how we can adopt certain habits and patterns that hurt us physically, and how then we can train ourselves to reverse them through electrical stimulation therapy. It's like retraining the brain, therefore retraining the muscular response. We talk about the mental aspect of training and exercise and how important the mental aspect is in overall performance. And we even talk about the aging body and why we don't stop moving because we're getting old. We get old because we stop moving. Enjoy the episode. All right, Garrett, it's so much fun to be here with you today outside of your lab, your facility. And
thank you for welcoming me into yours.
Yeah, well, welcome to our Wealthy, Wealthy headquarters, and it's fun to chat here, again, when I'm not necessarily in my gym shorts. So, fun story, we'll start off, I'd love to share that we met, of all places, we both live here in Austin, and almost right down the street from one another, but we met in Pasadena at the Bulletproof Conference.
Yes, that's right. I heard you and Tamara talking about the hyperbaric chamber, and somehow heard you mentioned Austin, and we were right there and said, oh, were you guys in from Austin as well? And we made the connection that, you know, we had a lot of mutual interests, and it was fun to be able to get you guys in to check out what we were doing when you got back, and fun to see what you're up to as well. So it's been great getting to know you guys over the last few months.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, funny enough that you were telling us about this electrical stimulation thing. And, you know, there's a lot going on in Bulletproof, and you hear all sorts of crazy things at that conference. So I kind of did my invisible eye roll, like, really? Electrical stimulation? Okay, I've heard it before, but that sounds like a little over the top. But you were telling us about it a little bit. You were explaining it and, you know, being a good listener, and you're from Austin. So of course, just an automatic friend being both from Austin. But then I was thinking, oh, okay, probably, who knows if I'll ever follow up with this guy or not, this electrical stimulation thing. And then like 2 weeks later, I get injured. In fact, no, I got injured at the Bulletproof Conference. I was running, and then I came home and did, you know, one of my workouts where I pushed myself too hard on top of the running injury. And then I thought, you know, that Garrett guy said that this electrical thing can totally help injuries and work, and, you know, sort of, it's a replacement, or can be a replacement, for more conventional, traditional physical therapy. It has much better results and quicker effects. So I thought, I'm going to call this guy and see if there's anything to it. So sure enough, you cured me and healed my injury and got me back to where I could run and work out. So maybe that's a good starting place. So for me, now I'm a customer of yours. You said, like, a student of yours, as you like to call it. And we completely healed my injury, and now we're doing it more on the strength training side of things. But why did this work? What happened when I came in and I had my hip flexor injury and you put all these electrical nodes all over me? What were you trying to find?
So we are looking at everything through the lens of how your nervous system works. As you know, your nervous system is essentially the mother system. It controls everything about your body. It controls, of course, how you move, how your muscles work, how coordinated and how strong you are or can be. It also, you know, for other health purposes, can control your blood pressure and heart rate and cognitive function, how you think during the day, how you react emotionally, many different things. And so we were looking more specifically at the movement aspect of your neurological function. And we found that, you know, through our diagnostic procedure, as you recall, found that there were some very specific areas, specific muscles that weren't able to work, do their job correctly. You know, muscles, just to back up for a moment, muscles are supposed to be shock absorbers. When we are out there, like you were running, or if we're out there, whether it's working out in the gym or sprinting on a track or carrying our kids around, carrying groceries in from the car, force is always entering our bodies in any of those activities, and our muscles have to absorb that force. They are our shock absorbers. And they are, of course, also controlled by your nervous system. So we were able to, through our diagnostic procedure, search and find where the neurological signals were aberrant, where the muscles, instead of being able to lengthen to absorb force, where they were stuck essentially in an overshortened, chronically contracted state where they couldn't support and stabilize your hip. So when you went to run, the muscles that should have been absorbing the force weren't doing that job. And we were able to find those muscles and then teach them to start doing their job again. So rather than, you know, necessarily working on your hip joint or, you know, or massaging out or working directly on the damaged area, we actually went to other places, and it was actually in some of your quad muscles that weren't working that was causing that hip flexor to have to overwork. So we can find, you know, go upstream and find out what isn't working that's causing all these other problems downstream.
And I think for, you know, traditionally that sometimes maybe is why it takes so long to heal an injury or even be able to find it, because I would say, no, it hurts here. And you're like, it doesn't matter that it hurts there. We need to find out sort of the source of where the firing is off, because that specific hip flexor is holding on or contracting, trying to keep itself safe, or I'm not exactly sure how you explained it, but through the diagnostic, we're able to locate really where the problem was that wasn't where I was feeling the pain.
Yes, absolutely. So we're finding essentially where your movement is uncoordinated, or where the neurological patterns are off, where things are too weak, too, you know, essentially, we'll just say not working as they should. And we can actually find those same problems on virtually anyone, because most of us aren't 100% maximally efficient in our movement and have different compensations and different limitations and dysfunctions. And most of the time it's, you know, people like yourself in this situation come to us because they have a symptom. However, we can find these same limitations on people preemptively, proactively, and work on them to improve movement quality, improve the overall health of the nervous system, to reduce the risk of those types of problems going forward. So the underlying problems were there even before you had the injury, I imagine. And we found them, you know, you were motivated to come in and try it out because of the injury, which was good. And in that sense, it was a blessing. The timing too, as you said, was interesting. The patterns probably were there in the beginning. I believe that's the underlying reason that you had the injury, that you were susceptible to it. And by working on that, we improve those, that injury that you had, that problem, downstream problem that you had, resolved on its own with the healing power of the body that, when activated, will take care of most things. So those same limitations, you know, we can work on and in pretty much anybody.
So what does electricity do? I mean, it's our muscles contract with electricity on their own, right? So is this, yes, like just more electricity to help them fire faster or more efficiently, more effectively, or more powerfully?
So all of the above. Mm. You're definitely getting the hang of it. what makes the technology that we use so unique is that it's a direct current rather than an alternating current. And it's essentially engineered in such a way that it exactly mimics those same electrical signals that, as you mentioned, control our muscles, our signals that control the muscles to move, our signals that report back into the nervous system and the brain what movement is taking place, the sensory or proprioceptive signals. And by duplicating those, we can create many different responses that can help people get stronger or help them contract faster if they're looking for athletic performance, or help increase range of motion if they want to get better at their yoga practice, or feel looser, be able to swing a golf club, or be able to carry their grandkids without pain. Or there's so many different things that when we can move correctly or move more efficiently, we have that foundation from which we can do all the other things that we enjoy in life. And that is essentially what our natural state is. You know, as children, you watch young children, they move beautifully. My daughter, who's about to be 5, has one of the finest squats I've ever seen, as do, you know, most children her age. And we all have that, but we learn because of previous traumas, and we develop compensations in response to those and different habits. You know, we sit in chairs or we lean on one side, and we develop these patterns that cause us to conserve energy by using our muscles less, which comes back to, you know, bite us in the butt proverbially later on when these problems lead to, you know, more significant problems and symptoms and injuries. And each of these areas that we find in the diagnostic is essentially those problems that have accumulated over time that we can correct very quickly by identifying where that electrical signal is, and then changing it so that we can teach muscles to start working, start being able to lengthen, absorbing force, working as they did ideally back when we were children, when we all moved correctly before we were disrupted by, you know, modern society and our lifestyles.
So with the muscles, due to lack of use or just injury, overcompensation, undercompensation, does the electrical current stop in the muscles, like, voluntarily? And so this actually creates, like, gives this new electrical signal that fires it back up and causes it maybe to come alive again. Is that?
That's a great way to put it. So there's a few different mechanisms at work. And as we've talked about, I'm doing some of the first formal research in this area. So we hope to be able to really concretely prove this more and more over the years to come. Our best understanding right now is essentially that what we're doing is we're duplicating the same sensory signals that happen when we move correctly. And therefore, we should be able to send that signal from anywhere in the body and be able to tolerate it or handle it pretty easily. When there are these problems, you'll feel when we stimulate different areas that, you know, it'll be smooth, it'll be easy one place, and all of a sudden we get to one muscle or one division of a muscle, and all of a sudden, bam, it gets
to jump out of your chair.
It gets a lot more intense. Mm-hmm. And that indicates essentially a protective mechanism in your body, where your brain is governing or limiting the output from that particular area. And when we stimulate it, your brain says, no, because it says, remember, I've been keeping you down here. All the other muscles are up here, but I've been keeping you down here. And so if we can send that same signal over and over and over again, which we can do very quickly with the machine, that's another of the benefits that you alluded to. We can get thousands of reps in the time that it would normally take you to do tens of reps. So we can accumulate this very quickly. We send that signal over and over again, teaching the brain that, oh, no matter what I had learned earlier, it's actually safe to allow this muscle to work in this way. And we can create a rapid teaching or learning effect wherein the muscle will start to work again in that new way, which is really the original way.
So really, we're not training the muscle, we're training the brain. And the brain signaling to the muscle that this is okay, go ahead and release or contract or do whatever it's going to do.
Yes. Remember,
so that's muscles, a different way of thinking. I mean, this is, it's the nervous system. It's neurological. It's really a brain body signal and connection that you're tapping into that is, I'm guessing, part of why it's the amplified effect.
Yes, absolutely. And muscles, they don't do a darn thing on their own. Muscles only do what they're commanded to do by the neurological signals that feed them. And oftentimes in training and in different physiology courses in universities, and many different approaches are so muscle focused. Mm-hmm. And we are coming at things from a different angle. And that's one of the reasons that this approach can be more effective in many cases, and why it has the potential to allow us to do so many more things.
Well, and that's why when I, before I came to you, I did a little bit of research because I was curious. And of course, you came to mind, just the timing of it was impeccable. But I read about, and that was my big aha, is like, oh, it's all brain signals and it starts neurologically. And when I started, you know, doing just a little bit of research, I realized like, oh, this makes so much sense. I just wouldn't have connected, you know, I just think of muscle and strength and they do all these things on their own without ever connecting that it's a neural signal and it's retraining the brain, like I said, over retraining the muscles.
Yes, absolutely. And in addition to the therapeutic experience that you had, that also same approach works to training and exercise and many other things. By improving the underlying neurological function, we can teach people to express more strength or more speed or more flexibility, or to increase their metabolic rate, or to increase hormone releases naturally that allow them to build more muscle and improve their body composition. And I know that's one of the things that we're working on right now. That's our next project with you. And just, you know, we get sometimes so focused on these downstream mechanisms, on the muscles themselves, or on individual hormones, or on, you know, looking at different aspects of metabolism. And they're all important and, you know, they warrant some attention. I just hope to add the piece that, you know, if we can focus on the mother system, then everything else will work better naturally. Mm-hmm. And we find that, you know, most of those things do improve when we stimulate the nervous system through our different methods.
So let's talk about, on the physical therapy side, more conventional physical therapy, and being an athlete most of my life at some level in marathon training, physical therapy was a pretty regular thing, but I always sort of felt like I never got the full result. It was maybe helpful, but then I'm supposed to do these exercises at home and then I don't quite do them. And I don't know, my own experience with physical therapy. I mean, physical therapy is good. It certainly is a great assist and I'm not saying one shouldn't do it, but I just comparing the two, for me, it's like night and day, more this traditional physical therapy and then using the electrical stimulation as a different type of therapy. It was just so much faster. I could feel the improvement just session over session as opposed to normal physical therapy. I didn't quite ever feel it time over time.
Right.
So what's like, how do you talk about more conventional physical therapy and what you're doing?
So I think that the biggest distinction, you know, I mentioned earlier that one of the differences that separates us within the field of electrical modalities is direct current versus alternating current. A lot of times what we're doing versus what more traditional physical therapy is doing, that same distinction exists. It's, you know, it's a clear, we're looking neurologically, they're looking physiologically, or they're looking more at tissues as opposed to the signal that feeds those tissues, the information that it needs to function. And of course, there are many very effective and many well-meaning physical therapists. And I think that this approach can actually, you know, help them and be another tool in their toolbox. And there are many that do achieve results. But for the most part, more traditional methods of physical therapy are, as you mentioned, or at least alluded to, you know, slow, inefficient. In 30 sessions of physical therapy, people can achieve a certain amount that they're achieving in, you know, 3 to 5 sessions with us. And that's part of it, is that the signals that we can send are, we can send them over and over and over and over again, you know, hundreds of pulses per second, which the brain interprets as hundreds of reps per second. So imagine if you have to do 10,000 reps to master something, how long that'll take you doing the reps physically, and how long it'll take you when you have the machine on, the equivalent amount of reps you can do in a fraction of the time. So it works. It's neurologically versus physiologically is one distinction. I'd say that's kind of the main one.
Okay. So there's so much new science today, new science, tools, technology, even though this is an old technology. I think you told me it was started in Russia, working with top athletes in Russia. So it's been around, what, since the 60s or 70s, but it's really just coming to be used more regularly, right, today?
Yes. So the Soviets did a lot of the pioneering work in this methodology, and they did it with their athletes, and they would, you know, shock the
bejeebies
out of them. And they found that there were a lot of benefits to using direct current, again, as opposed to alternating current, which is most of the electrical modalities out there, the stim and TENS units that most people have experienced. They found a lot of benefits to direct current. However, there was one major problem, and that is when you used it at high enough levels to really make a difference, it would burn the skin. And they could do it for Mother Russia and get away with it. But here in this country,
not so much.
Not so much. People don't like having to be burned during their training or therapy sessions. So the cool thing about the technology that we use is that it takes that direct current signal and it essentially has engineered the waveform so that it can penetrate through the skin without burning. It can just go right through all the layers of the skin, the fatty tissue underneath, and actually get into the muscles where it can have the effects that we're looking for. And the technology has, you know, caught on slowly in some pockets. There's a lot of professional athletes doing the types of things that we're doing. And with our new efforts this year, we're hoping to start spread that message and be able to reach more people and at least provide an opportunity for more people to experience it, other practitioners and individuals, and help it get out there, because we really do believe that when enough people start thinking this way, start approaching injuries and training and health and exercise from this perspective, that we can really improve the quality of life for a massive number of people.
Right. So it's like new improved physical therapy to be able to use some technology equipment and things, like you said, have been, you know, greatly improved since they, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But the more people that know about this, that it's a great way to when you have an injury. But there's a lot of things, like Tamara came in and she was different than I, in the sense that I had an injury and I could barely walk. I certainly couldn't run. So I was very motivated to fix this. But she's been living, for example, with some chronic pain for years, that's through lots of traditional physical therapy and different means to try to get rid of the pain. She's just not been successful. And so she just sort of kind of got to the mindset that I guess I'm gonna have to live with this pain for the rest of my life. And, you know, she's pretty young. So she comes in and she's lost all the pain in her shoulder injury. And in her mind, she's like, oh my gosh, I thought I was gonna have to live with this for the rest of my life. So that's another great thing, is that you're offering this opportunity for people to maybe fix old injuries or pains that we've just kind of gotten used to living with.
Yes. And those sometimes it's all fun and rewarding. I was going to say, sometimes those are the most rewarding, when people really think that they have to, it has to be this way. You know, it's always been this way. It's going to be this way. That's just who I am, or that's just my shoulder just always hurts. And to be able to show them that, you know, there's more inside of you. There's, if you give your body the correct inputs or put it in the appropriate environment, it can heal. It can overcome trauma. It can rebuild. It can renew itself. It can get more healthy and, you know, and younger and more dynamic and vibrant.
And probably wants to.
And if it's put in the right environment, it will do so, you know, it will absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's the physical therapy side, as far as helping people with injuries like myself, or helping alleviate old injuries and some ongoing pain, maybe like Tamara's situation. And then we've now, like you had already mentioned, since we've healed my injury and I'm running again, so thank you, because when you're a runner and you can't run, life becomes very gray. You miss those endorphins. But, you know, now I'm running again, zero pain. We fixed that injury relatively pretty quickly because it was pretty bad. And now we're on, the strength training side of things.
Yes.
So we've moved from the therapy to building muscle mass and moving to where hopefully build some muscle mass and help me hit some physical goals as far as body. What did we measure?
Yeah, we did the DEXA scan. Mm-hmm. So it was looking at body composition, mm-hmm. and, you know, your muscle composition in different parts of your body, your arms, your torso, hips, legs. And we did the scan over at UT, and it's pretty high tech, and that'll be a good basis for measurement to gauge your progress. And it'll be cool to see how this training is able to improve that. I believe that it will over the next few months.
Yeah, part of my goal there, of course, is that I'm you know, after my own, where I am right now, it's about optimal health. I mean, really just lifestyle and using the latest tools, technologies, just things we have, like what you're doing, what's available to really apply to life for optimal health and wellness and vitality and energy. And part of this process that I'm in is that we all age, you know, with, you know, that we all want to age in the sense that there's, it's a better than the other alternative. And, but I think I was talking about this earlier with Keith and Michelle Norris, and we're talking about this idea that, that we think in America that as we get old, part of getting old is disease. So you die from some sort of illness, if it's Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or heart disease or cancer or diabetes or whatever these different diseases are. But we've more or less gotten to this belief that getting older means we get diseased, and that means we're going to be on certain probably pharmaceutical drugs, and we're going to be prescribed lots of different things. And then it's just sort of this downhill slope, and then we die at some point. And part of, I think, what has me energized and what we talked about earlier, for example, is the idea that no, it's not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be healthy until the day that we just kill over. And so that's what's really fun about working with you and why we're doing some of these baseline measurements is that as we age, I want to show that no, you don't have to go down in muscle mass. You don't, you know, and you don't have to, it's not this downward slope, that we actually can continue to gain muscle mass and bone density, or by using, by working out efficiently, effectively, and having certain, using these new tools that can assist. But will you talk about that a little bit as far as the body's design to work a certain way up until the very end?
Absolutely. This is
a and I say that real quick is that in your gym, or do you call it a gym? It's not really a gym. What do you call your space?
I usually call it the clinic, but it's
whatever gym, we call it, gym. Yeah. So we'll use gym.
Depends on which half you're standing
in. But it's really great because being in there, I mean, there are some in there that are young and, you know, they're in their 20s and maybe early 30s, that sort of thing. But there's also people that come in or in their 50s, 60s, 70s and maybe even 80s. So there's no age limit either. And everybody's coming in there and they're you can tell that they just have a healthy mindset that they're coming in and wanting to do something.
Yes. Well, what you mentioned, I think you touched on one of the most important points in the whole dynamic of aging and this conversation in our country is that so many people as they age are, as you said, reliant on pharmaceuticals or surgeries or a cane or whatever the crutch is, biochemical or physical crutch. It, to me, that's very disempowering. It's as if a doctor is telling his or her patient that, you know what, you don't have enough within you of whatever it is that you need this drug, or you need this surgery, you need this other intervention. And I see it the exact opposite way. I see it that if you put your body in the correct environment, virtually any issue or challenge that you have the power within you to overcome. And it's really, you know, it's like alternating current and direct current. It's really just looking at things from almost a complete 180 degree different opposite angle. So one of my favorite quotes on aging, and I can't recall who said it. Maybe I can get it later when you put it in the notes. The saying is that we don't stop moving because we get old. We get old because we stop moving. Mm-hmm. And if we use our bodies and we constantly challenge them so that they're forced to adapt and upgrade all the systems of the body on a regular basis, there's no reason that we can't be in our 60s and 70s and 80s and going out and running track and field. And we have several in our gym that do that, go out and still compete. There's actually a 90 plus year old division in the Masters track and field competitions. We don't have any of those competitors yet, but as some of our guys age up, maybe they'll be there. Another thing about age, just kind of as a framework to look at it, is, you know, it isn't simply the passage of time that creates these diseases or issues, challenges. It's what we do with that time. And so if we are, as I said, if we're challenging ourselves, if we're stimulating ourselves neurologically, we can constantly be getting better. There's an interesting study that I write about in my book that should finally be out, you know, sometime later this year. And it looked at myelin levels, which is myelin is the insulating sheath made primarily of fat that insulates our neurological pathways. And the more, just like if you have internet that's, you know, old school dial up versus modern cable internet, the greater the bandwidth, the more information can be sent down that wire. So when our nerves have greater levels of myelin around them, they can send more information. We can process things quicker. If we have to react in a conversation, or we have to display strength by lifting something, or we have to react to our footing on the ground to catch or maintain our balance, myelin is very important. And there have been shown different patterns and effects and trends that people tend to lose myelin as they age. And the coolest part is it can be reversed through particular types of training. And if that training is challenging to the nervous system, it'll be a greater stimulus that causes the body to build more myelin, to increase the function of the neurological system by laying down that myelin, by changing neurological synaptic connections, doing this remodeling on a regular basis to become more efficient. And the greater the challenge to the nervous system, the greater that response. So that's why the training methods that we use, another reason they can be so valuable, is because if you just go and you spend 30 minutes on the elliptical and then you lift a few weights on the machine in the gym, you're not challenging your nervous system to have to send more information, to have to better coordinate your muscles, to have to increase the output, or you're not really challenging your nervous system at all. You're maybe challenging your cardiovascular system. Maybe you may be challenging, you know, some of your muscles, but you're not challenging your nervous system to upgrade. And so one of the cool things about our techniques and our technology is that it's so neurologically intense that even if you don't lift as much weight or feel like you're running as long, or you don't, even if it looks different, the activities are different, you end up creating so much more of a neurological input that the stimulus for the nervous system to restructure or to change its function is so much greater. And that, of course, affects then your metabolic response, because your nervous system controls your metabolism, your hormonal responses. It controls all of these other things. If you are challenge yourself enough to where your neurological, if you challenge yourself neurologically to the point where you actually cross over the threshold and trigger your body and your brain to stimulate true recovery, you spend a lot more time in a parasympathetic state and your blood pressure better regulates, your digestive system works better, your ability to eliminate waste improves. Talk about, you know, constipation and high blood pressure are some of the major problems in our country today. If you stimulate your nervous system enough through training so that it actually gets the point that it has to shift into the parasympathetic side, as opposed to sympathetic, the fight or flight, shift into the parasympathetic function in order to recover, you'll naturally regulate your blood pressure. You'll naturally be more regular. And all of that you get if you train in this way.
Well, and what I like about training with you as well, especially aging, since some of this is about age, is that it's not a weight game in the sense like lots of heavy weights. Because as you age, I mean, you just can't lift as many weights as you did maybe when you were younger. But with this, you get the same neurological adaptation response, meaning you don't have to lift the heavy weights. You can get train, like you said, to challenge the nervous system without heavy weights, but get the same sort of effect as lifting heavy weights.
Yes, there's a very, very interesting point around this. Well, there's actually a couple. One is that one of the biggest benefits of lifting heavy weight is that you get so much input to your nervous system because you activate so many motor units or so many of the parts of your muscle that would normally be dormant during daily activity. It's such a high level of input neurologically that it actually crosses over that threshold where it triggers your brain to say, oh yes, this was something. We have a deficit here. It's large enough that we need to recover. So it shifts into parasympathetic mode, so it can digest food to better rebuild all the structures that were challenged. It can make these wonderful adaptations that we've been talking about. And when you lift weights to achieve that benefit, there's also a risk. The heavier the weight, the greater the risk of an injury. You know, we see a lot of people that, particularly guys who have torn their rotator cuffs bench pressing, or, you know, blew out their backs deadlifting, or hurt themselves on, you know, different weightlifting machines or whatever. You know, the stories are pretty common. But if you can get all that same benefit without any of the downsides by reducing, virtually washing away that risk of injury, you know, that's a pretty cool equation. You get all of the good and none of the bad. And then there are times in our gym where we do want people to lift weights, particularly for certain sports performance goals. And the problem with the way most people lift weights is that they're lifting weights before they're ready to do so. You know, they're on step C and D before they've mastered step A. So they need to learn to be able to move. If they're going to squat, they need to be able to squat without weight perfectly. Because if you take a faulty pattern and then you load it with a bunch of weight, gosh, you know, there's a good chance something's going to go wrong. And so most of the time when people are lifting heavy, they're doing it in such a way that promotes injury, teaches them, you know, they're pushing with one side and they're contorting their bodies to get the weight up, and they're teaching themselves to move wrong, to fight, use their muscles to fight against each other, to use energy less efficiently, to have more sympathetic activation, actually be in a greater stress response because of the net effect of that movement. So there's another interesting point there about how, you know, training can actually sometimes send us backwards. We might think we're doing these things in the gym that benefit us, and yet they're actually, apart from just injury, which is a clear problem and a clear, you know, sign that things are wrong, there are sometimes more subtle ones where our training that we think is benefiting us actually isn't. You think about how many people go to the gym every day and, you know, they look the same, or they feel the same, or they feel worse 2 years later after they've been going to the gym.
Right. And so you go to the gym and there really isn't any sort of net effect. In fact, if you did do, let's say, a DEXA scan and kept some sort of measure, you might see with time and age that those go in the undesirable direction. But we think, man, we're going to the gym 3-4 days a week and riding, you know, doing the treadmill or whatever.
Yes. And that is not, you know, looking through the lens of the nervous system and how our activities affect or don't affect the nervous system. Think about, and essentially, if you're on the treadmill, you're challenging the cardiovascular system, maybe, but it's nothing, you know, nothing about that jogging for 30 minutes is challenging to the nervous system or any other aspect of the body that is going to make a real meaningful contribution to greater overall health and vitality.
So it's probably better than sitting on the sofa with the remote, but it's not going to actually produce significant results towards wellness, health, optimal energy, vitality, because it sounds like we really do need to challenge our nervous system on a regular basis to keep that growth happening, to keep our operating system working efficiently, effectively, and so that everything else downstream works better or continues to work better.
Absolutely. I love that term, operating system. That's often a metaphor that I use to describe what we do. So much, you know, physical therapy, it's going back to what we were talking about earlier, and so much of training is focused on the hardware, on the tissues, on the muscles, on the hormone, whatever it is. We're focusing more on the software that controls all of those other things. And if the software is upgraded, the way that the hardware is used is upgraded, and the net result is usually very positive.
Yeah. One thing, now that we're on the strength training side of the equation instead of the therapy side, what I like to report is it's fun. So to go in the gym versus just normal gyms, and you're in there and you have your headphones on and you're ignoring everyone else and you're doing your little workout and maybe there's a little feel good or whatever. Number one, just congratulations on your gym. There's always such a great vibe and energy, and everybody in there is laughing and having fun. It feels very community-based, which is cool. You've done a great job there. But it's different than just normal weight training. I've done all sorts of, you know, different weight training just throughout my life, simply just sort of to be healthy. But you don't have to lift like these crazy weights. There's a movement to it. It's very movement based and letting the electricity do a lot of the work, and it can be almost meditative, but it's, yes, a very different experience to quote unquote working out or exercise or training or weightlifting or, you know, whatever label you want to give it. It's enjoyable. Now, I mean, there's some uncomfort. I mean, it can be uncomfortable. You do have electricity, sure, that's stimulating the muscles or whatever, but it's like, it's a good pain. If that makes sense, that there is a therapeutic sense about it that feels good, while at the same time you're really taxing your system. And so it's the uniqueness of that makes me actually want to go train versus, oh my God, I have to go train today. You know, I have to like totally talk myself into it.
Yes.
Is that, do you find that to be what others have to say about the training as well?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's another extremely important piece. You mentioned the, you know, in contrast to what we're doing, the person who just goes and puts on the headphones and feels like they have to kind of slog through a workout. And it's kind of a grind that, you know, they listen to the music, they kind of check out mentally. And our workouts, I would say again, are almost the exact opposite. We're checking in instead of just, you know, letting your mind wander and listening to some music or thinking about what your boyfriend or spouse or teacher said, you know, whatever the case may be. It requires focus and it requires emotional and intellectual participation in addition to just physical participation. And it is, we do challenge the people who train with us, our students, our trainees. And in order to be able to meet that challenge, you do, you have to participate emotionally and intellectually, and you have to call upon all of your inner resources. And there's some other cool things, like you mentioned, the, you know, the electricity, or sometimes the things that make you do can be uncomfortable. And well, life can be uncomfortable too sometimes. So learning to be able to maintain the appropriate breathing rhythm that we talk about, for instance, being able to maintain proper breathing while you're under duress actually changes the thresholds within your nervous system that handle how you deal with stress. So the argument that you have with a coworker or some other conflict that normally would send you through the roof, now you actually learn to better regulate your stress response within your body. And all of a sudden you can handle that and you can stay more clear-headed, more calm. You can better handle all of the other outside stressors in your life. And so I think that's one of the very cool pieces of it as well.
Yeah. And what you made me think of, you're so right on, is it does require mindfulness. And we all know the power of mindfulness and the importance and benefits of just being able to be present and focused and mindful and in the moment. And you're right. The practice does require mindfulness. Like, you're right there with the electricity and moving through it and realizing two things to your point exactly is the self-talk is like, oh, I can do this. Like, I can move through this, versus this feeling of wanting to quit. It actually produces the opposite. Like, no, I want a little more. And working with the trainer, like, no, tap that, you know, turn that baby up a little bit. Yeah. But it really, and knowing, I think, it, I don't know, maybe the brain, when the brain senses like, oh, there's no risk here, this, you can do this. And then you realize you can. And then, so it's easy to grow through this process versus sort of capping out.
Yes, absolutely. That, I think, is one of the biggest values that we provide in our facility. And as we grow, you know, we'll be able to provide with our system through more people. That is definitely one of the biggest benefits, is it's a safe environment, a safe opportunity to push yourself. Because oftentimes, you know, if you're going to lift heavy weights or whatever people are trying to do for exercise, there's a whether it's a conscious or unconscious mechanism to want to hold back for many different reasons, you know, literally for survival or fear or other emotional reasons. And we create an environment where, with the combination of the machine and our techniques, it's safe to push oneself to his or her limits. So your limits may be different from mine's, may be different from the person training next to us, the person on the other side of the gym, but we can all explore our own thresholds, our own limits, and our own boundaries. And we can, you know, ultimately expand them through that process.
Right. And there's a lot of benefit that comes from that, that I think, like you said, carries over into other parts of life.
Yes.
So we've talked about therapy, we've talked about training, and I would think that this would be a really good opportunity for a lot of people who want to incorporate some movement, just need to take that first step to get back to exercise. Because that's another thing I love about your approach, is that anybody can do it, and you don't have to be intimidated about going to the gym or, you know, some of these old school ways of doing it, or just some of the lack of motivation piece. You could baby step your way into it, because electricity is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting to get one started. And then you do go in and you want more and you do more and you push yourself a little bit more. But it's a really great starting place for those that have been out of the movement exercise game for a while and need to reset.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, on that topic, I'll say that we have five people right now regularly coming in wheelchairs, and we're working on different things, and we've been able to help them some achieve great strides. Actually, all are, you know, at least making some benefits in their quality of life and dealing with whatever it is that they're dealing with. So, you know, it's effective and safe for people in all sorts of situations. In wheelchairs, we've had people as old as 92, as young as 6, and all have been able to achieve some benefits and take a positive step forward on their path, whatever it is that they're working on. So people, one of the common things I hear along that vein of, you know, people trying to get back into things is that, you know, man, I would work out more, but my knee hurts or my back hurts. And so fixing some of those underlying biomechanical flaws and allowing people to move pain-free, sometimes that just getting over that hurdle will open up this whole new opportunity for them to be able to try things out. And when they get to move without pain, it kind of keeps feeding on itself, little snowball effect. It's like, oh, wow, I can do this. I want to do this now that I can. Hey, you know, I will. And so opening up that opportunity sometimes is one of the biggest things. And then if it's not injury, but it's a concern about time or the how to fit it into one's busy life, that's something that, you know, I think we can also help solve that challenge as well, because you can get a very efficient workout in, you know, a couple times a week, 30, 45 minutes. We certainly have people that train more than that if they're, you know, real high level athletes and things like that. But a lot of people come in just because it is a very efficient approach. They can get, you know, their whole workout done in 2 45-minute sessions a week. They're busy executives with families. Fitness is important to them, but they can't dedicate that much time to it. So they can still, you know, achieve great benefits in that short time commitment.
Right. Yeah. Great benefits. That, like you said, that we're retraining the nervous system, like real benefits versus that same maybe 45 minutes to that. Maybe, like you said, going to the normal gym and getting a treadmill session,
yes,
or two in a week.
Yes.
And would require a lot more in order to get even any benefits, probably, really.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So I'm guessing that many people, if they've never heard of electrical stimulation before, as far as therapy and training, like I hadn't before meeting you, is it safe? I mean, we're putting electrical nodes on our skin. So talk about that.
So it is extremely safe, particularly compared to some of the pharmaceuticals and other things that people are using and surgeries. And I mean, you know, people call what we do, quote, alternative medicine. To me, those things should be the alternative or the last resort. Yeah. And what we're doing, so according to the FDA, we can't use our machine on anyone who's pregnant, for instance, or has a pacemaker implanted. So there are, you know, some conditions when we can't do it. But absent those things, it's extremely safe. And it's really activating the same mechanisms that exist inside of us already, just giving them a little kickstart, getting them to start working again if they haven't been working, or getting them to work better or faster than they have been working. And it's really, you know, very, I'd say a very natural approach.
Right. All right. So we're running at the close of our time together, and here at Wealthy Wealthy, we always work to do a little myth busting. You know, my goal is to bring unconventional thinking and technologies, techniques to, you know, to the forefront. And when it comes to exercise, there's a lot of dogma out there about exercise and probably a lot of conventional wisdom. What is out there that is probably believed to be true by most, but you pretty much believe through your expertise and the latest science that you've been studying? What's out there that's mostly commonly believed to be true, but it's absolutely false?
There are many. From the, you know, common belief that 30 minutes of cardio 4 times a week is the best thing for cholesterol health, for instance. The biggest drop in cholesterol actually happens after a strength training session, because it's interesting. You'll look at after a true strength session, cholesterol in the blood will drop very significantly because it's being taken up by the muscles, muscles are a sponge absorbing it, because it's used for a lot of the recovery and repair processes inside of muscles. So it's very important. There's myths around stretching. I mean, virtually everyone believes they should stretch. They beat themselves up if they don't stretch. They think that they need to stretch before or after, you know, whatever. And one thing, you can't actually stretch muscle, because muscle, when it's brought to its greatest length, it will contract to protect itself from tearing. So, well, if I'm stretching, what am I stretching? Is probably the next question. And the answer is that you're stretching connective tissue. You're pulling it apart. And that, you know, if you're a Cirque du Soleil performer or a ballet dancer and you need extreme ranges of motion, you do want some of that. You do have to do that. But just know that it comes with a cost of the risk for greater joint laxity or instability. And it can, you know, for most people who stretch, can sometimes do more harm than good by creating laxity within joints and setting us up for injury. So we train movement at the extreme ranges of motion, but we do it under muscular control. So we're not just tugging on connective tissue. We're teaching muscles to work and move at their greatest lengths. So you get all those benefits.
And so I don't have to worry about stretching anymore?
With what you're doing in our two workouts a week, you can check off that box.
That's good to know. Awesome. Well, thank you. And I will see you tomorrow, actually, for a good electrical workout. Thank you for coming over today and hanging out and having this conversation. And any final thoughts? Where can people find you?
So our website is new.fit, www.neu, short for neurological.fit. And we'll have some information there about what it is that we're doing. And later on this year, I don't have the exact date yet, but I have virtually finished all the pieces of it. My book will be out. And so once that's ready, maybe we can add some of that in the show notes for this. And we've got some big things coming in 2017 that I'm very excited about. So we will be doing our best to get our message out there and reach as many people as we can here in the years to come.
Well, I love your passion for overall wellness and health and happiness and really being,
likewise,
you know, being a pioneer in this whole new journey of the newest science. A lot of it's brain science, just what we're learning about the neuroscience and neurology and how it really is the operating system. And anyway, so thank you.
Yes. And we get to learn that we have all these cool, amazing, wonderful things inside of us and just, you know, learning how to activate them. And I appreciate very much that you're helping people through the wealthy community and your work to help people, you know, realize that and empowering them with information that they can use to legitimately improve their lives.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome. And thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Garrett. If you'd like to learn more about him or his business or electrical stimulation therapy, be sure to check out the show notes at wealthywealthy.life. Before I'd close, I'd like to give a couple of shout outs. One is from Gina. Gina says, clear, concise, and actionable. What more could one ask? Thank you, Gina. SBH says, her approach to financial, physical, and emotional wellness will change your life for the better. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love hearing y'all's feedback. If you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, I'd really appreciate it. If you do, I'll be sure to give you a shout out in a future episode. Next up is financial guru Jason Giorgio. I promise you won't want to miss it. Here's to a wealthy, wealthy life. I'll see you next time.